Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, after 14 years, I again went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up in accord with a revelation, and I presented to them the gospel that I preached to the Gentiles, but privately to those of repute, so that I might not be running or have run in vain. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter to the circumcised, for the one who worked in Peter for an apostolate to the circumcised, worked also in me for the Gentiles. When they recognized the grace bestowed upon me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas their right hands in partnership, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only we were to be mindful of the poor, which is the very thing I was eager to do. And when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he clearly was wrong. For until some people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to draw back and separated himself because he was afraid of the circumcised. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him. And the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not on the right road, in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of all, if you, though a Jew, are living like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Verbum Domini. Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever.
Go out to all the world and tell the good news.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God, a divine person, who's fully God, fully man, embraces his humanity. St. Paul tells us that he humbles himself to become man, become human. And in Jesus embracing this humanity, he's living it to the fullest. No, he's enjoying it. And he's at the same time teaching us how to overcome the sin and evil in this world through his love. And today, we not only learn about Jesus and his prayer, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He gives us the Our Father. And in the Our Father, of course, we learn this powerful prayer. At the same time, we're learning how to live this prayer. And Jesus does that to the fullest. I mean, Jesus himself is a living prayer. He's always in connection with the Father. And that is so important for us to learn from him. So here in these passages today, in the gospel, Jesus is asked by the disciples to teach us how to pray. In the context of these verses, this is the Gospel of Luke here. Yesterday, we heard about Martha and Mary. And we know that in that situation, you know, Mary, who's chosen the better part, who is at the feet of Jesus, praying with him, worshiping him, adoring and loving him. You know, Martha's busy with many things, and Jesus says she has chosen the better part. It's prayer. Prayer first. And today, Jesus is now teaching us about prayer. So it is necessary for us to pray and to pray often. And Jesus gives us this great example of praying. As we read throughout the Gospels, we hear of Jesus going off to places. Now there he is. He's alone with the Father, and he's praying with the Father. No, there he is. They're communicating. There's this union, you know, a pure bond. You know, it's very holy, perfect love, you know, there. And then we hear Jesus at different times, you know, speaking about him doing the will of the Father. Now, one of the most profound prayers of Jesus, of course, we see toward the end of his life. And we see the immeasurable love he's showing us. As, you know, in John chapter 17, in the high priest prayer, where Jesus is saying that, yes, he's been in the glory of the Father. He's in the glory of the Father. And he wants to share this glory with us, that we may have the love that he has. The love between the Father and the Son, that this love be in us. And as we know in Scriptures, Jesus says that no one can come to the Father except through me. And Jesus gives us everything we need to experience the Almighty God, the Father, his beauty, his power, his love, his truth. Now, here is Jesus, of course, who brings that to us, who is the visible presence of the Father. And so here in this prayer of the Our Father, here we are. Jesus is showing us how to have the same connection with him this intimacy throughout our lives in everything we do. And ultimately, so that we maintain an awareness of God's presence around us and stay in contact with Him, so that we too may become a living prayer. And so here in this Our Father prayer, here is Jesus saying, beginning with, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Almighty Father, the God, the great creator. No, here he is who is all love and all truth. To come into the presence of the Father, to recognize who he is. To see how powerful, and to be in awe of this the Father and all he is. It's him, the Father, who gives us whose existence himself, who gives us existence, who gives us life. And we should be truly grateful for this, for the Father and what he's giving to us, and that the love of the Father is all around us, even inside of us. The Father is loving us. And with this, as we go before the Father in our prayer, or even just in our awareness of God, this should humble us because of his greatness and his generosity, that he gives to us this love, that that we have a purpose, that we are special, made in his image and likeness. And in humbling ourselves, we sing this love. There we, as we approach the Father, and as we, even in our prayer or, just in our works, that we should maintain this awe and what is called the gift of the fear of the Lord, the awe of not being so much scared or frightened by him, but to have a loving relationship with him. You see, when you speak of fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean like to be afraid. It means to be in awe and to revere God. Because remember, in a relationship, you can't have fear, because then it's not a true relationship. So God, who loves us, invites us to this relationship with him, and he doesn't force it upon us, because he loves us so much that what should come from us is only love. Not so much obligation or have to or do this, but to love him. And here is the great love he's showing us. Wow, God, in return, I love you for all you've given to me. Hallowed be his name, his will be done on earth and as it is in heaven. And this should, not so much obligations, doing the will of God. The will of God for us is to be holy people. First and foremost, as Jesus gives us the two great commandments, to love the Lord your God with our heart, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the first will of God. Yes, we're called to different states in life. Some called to be married or, single, or the priesthood, religious. God calls us to these different states, but all of us are called to be holy people. And we're the people of God. And that is first and foremost. But the way we approach the Lord, the way in being in a relationship with him, knowing how good he is, his generosity, should cause us to do his will with urgency, with love in return, with charity and mercy. So then Jesus goes on, and he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, first of all, in your kingdom come. Here's Jesus bringing about the kingdom. He says that he's proclaiming the kingdom of God. Jesus himself is the kingdom. He's everything the kingdom is and is about. And here he is giving it to us. We too, as disciples of Jesus, as followers of him, we too are to proclaim the kingdom. Of course, in our word, but also in what we do. But to do this well, we have to be in prayer. We have to have this, again, like I said, this connection with God. We have to pray daily. We have to think about the Lord. We have to trust the Lord. It's necessary to trust the Lord when we're doing the works of the God. That we need to depend on him, because we want to do it in the way he's called us to. as Jesus does. And so he says, and then give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread, our sustenance. You know, well, look at Jesus. Here's Jesus. Jesus who, okay, again, he's man. Jesus who lives among us, even he receives what is given to him. Luke chapter 8 tells us that there were people, women, who provided for Jesus and his disciples. Now, so here Jesus, he's showing us how to live, how to you know, ask God for daily bread. And there he is, God always provides. And then at the same time, you know, of course, we're trusting God for our sustenance, for, you know, just so that we can have provisions to live well. No, we give that to the Lord, that God provides in one way or another through his providence. At the same time, give us this daily bread. You know, of course, we desire to be with God. We desire to have God. But some of the church fathers teach that in this, give us this daily bread, is to desire and to want more the Holy Eucharist, the bread of life, which there is more of God's love. Now, there is where we are nourished with Jesus Christ himself and his presence within us. Now, that should be our true everything we desire, is to have this union, communion with the Lord at Holy Mass. Now, to have this desire that nothing interfere with that. Now, there's a lot of interference out there, as we know, a lot of distraction. But we want to have Jesus fully. Remember, as Jesus says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. This is him, to want Jesus, for to desire him, to be in union, communion with him. And then we go on. It says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus, the Lord, of course, you know, he's perfect. He's living humanity to the fullest. You know, the book of Hebrews says is that Jesus, of course, you know, he's as man, he can empathize because he's human. He can empathize with everything with us, except for sin, you know, because he didn't sin. But he felt temptation, he felt pain, he felt joy, he felt happiness. You know, he even experienced fear. Fear didn't stop him. You know, Jesus in him is the victory. So Jesus, he doesn't need to be forgiven of sin. Jesus, you know, forgives. You know, we need to ask for forgiveness for our sins. You know, we all fall short, you know, of the glory of God. And God is true, who's truly generous. He forgives us. At the same time, the Lord calls us to forgive. And Jesus, in his ministry, he's always ready to forgive. He's always there to pick us up again. Now, this is his love here. This is his mercy. You know, he is faithful. He's always ready to extend his mercy to us and embrace us with that. And so we should learn from him in this way. So in praying this prayer, we can gaze upon Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, okay, yeah, forgive me my sins. But yet, we says, Lord, help me to forgive those who hurt me or hurt the people I love. And I'll heal me from these wounds, in these interior wounds. You know, help me to love as you love. And the Lord will. That's why he's giving us this prayer here. And then, you know, lead us not into temptation. Well, in the Matthew and Luke, those Gospels give us the Our Father. In Matthew, we have seven petitions. In Luke, there is five. But, you know, basically, you know, we get all seven. But here, as we look at the Our Father, the last parts, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. You know, there, you know, we need the Lord's help. And how are we delivered from evil? How are this? By the Lord himself, by his blood, by the grace he gives us, you know, by his word. But by living like him, you know, as we were saying, Jesus, who conquers the world, conquers the evil, the sin in the world, by his love. You know, and he gives us this true freedom. This freedom is that, okay, we're forgiven our sins, but this freedom from the chains, the slavery of sin. No, and that's what the Lord has come to get. Remember, the book of Isaiah comes to set prisoners free, prisoners from the chains of sin and death. And that's what the Lord gives us. How is this? How would we do this? Through the love of the Lord. They're looking at Him. They're asking for His help. Of course, our prayer, our penance. So, you know, this is all given to us by the Lord. So here, you know, as we see Jesus, who truly loves us, you know, He does everything He can to draw us closer to Him, never forces Himself upon us, but He's only giving. You know, He says, I come to give you life, and that this life be abundant. So that is what we find in Him. And so, brothers and sisters, today we look to the Lord Jesus, and as you pray, you're our Father, think about Jesus and how He's praying. How He's with the Father. It says that His gaze was always on the Father. So our gaze should be on Jesus, on the Father, the Holy Trinity. You know, looking to Him for everything, for all strength. You know, and there, as we're humbled, as we're doing this, you know, keep being aware of this. You know, staying, of course, having our time of quiet prayer as Jesus did. But yet having this connection, this awareness of His presence all around us. And also within us. And as we do this, hey, you know what? We'll be closer to the Lord. We'll draw closer to Him. But hey, we'll glorify Him much more powerfully, much more fruitfully. God bless you all.